How to help your audience remember, part two. Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 216. This is part two of a three-part series about how to help our audience remember. This week we're talking about to learn, retrieve. To learn, retrieve. More on that in a moment. So just by way of introduction, this short series is on the significance of helping the people we speak to actually remember what we've been talking about. How often has it happened to you that you've heard someone speak? Perhaps they spoke engagingly. Perhaps they spoke about important issues, but you went away and a day later you thought, actually can't remember what it was about. That's a bit of a sad situation. And I think it's also true that sometimes when we are speaking, we're not speaking in such a way that's perhaps wrong or unhelpful. But are we speaking in the way that would best help those we're speaking to remember what we've been talking about? Now, a large part of people remembering things is their own responsibility, but what can you and I do as speakers to help people to remember? Now, there are lots of issues to do with this, but I want to focus on one thing today as part of this series, which has been stimulated for me by lots of events recently in my life, but also by reading a particular book called Make It Stick, and I'll put the link in the show notes below. And that book, Make It Stick, is a secular book about the way we learn, but I found it very helpful thinking about the way that I preach and I teach and the relevance of how I then can help people to remember what is important in those lessons. In Acts chapter 11, verse 16, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You see some useful information that Peter recalled, thinking back to the days of Jesus. And Jesus was a master teacher. Not only was he engaging, not only did he teach the truth, but also he taught in a way such that his followers remembered what he'd said. How else would we have the Gospels? And Peter there specifically says that he remembered what the Lord said, and he found that remembrance of what Jesus said them to be useful for a current situation that he was in many years later. And that's what we're hoping for in this little series, is to help us, to help others to remember for future benefit. So, five simple things today, all connected with the idea of retrieval. Firstly, tying the knot. Tying the knot. In the book, they say this on page 28. Retrieval ties the knot for memory. Repeated retrieval snugs it up and adds a loop to make it fast. In other words, to make the knot tight. So retrieval, we're talking about retrieval specifically today, practicing retrieval, bringing back to mind things, repeating things so that we learn how to retrieve a memory, such that we can then use it later. And they make the point that retrieving information time and again in different ways and different circumstances helps it to settle, helps that knot to be tight. It snugs it up and adds a loop to make it fast, to make it tight, to make it secure. And so retrieval is a key component in helping us to remember what we've been taught and also then being able to use it for a future time. Secondly, repeat, repeat, repeat. So if we're going to be able to retrieve memories, if we're going to be able to remember what's been taught and use it again in the future, we need to hear the speaker repeat, and we need ourselves as listeners to repeat what's going on. They say this in page 28 and 29. To be most effective, retrieval must be repeated again and again in spaced out sessions, so that the recall, rather than becoming a mindless recitation, requires some cognitive effort. Repeated recall appears to help memory consolidate into a cohesive representation in the brain and to strengthen and to multiply the neural routes by which the knowledge can later be retrieved. A little bit of a long paragraph there, but containing some important points. That if we repeat retrieval, so we learn something or we know something and then we bring it back to mind again and again and again, we do that and it strengthens it into something that is cohesive in our brain. In other words, we grasp it, perhaps we understand it, we associate it with other things and it sticks, and then we can bring it back to mind when we need to. Space it out, part three, space it out. They say this on page 32. When retrieval practice is spaced, allowing some forgetting to occur between tests, it leads to stronger long-term retention than when it is massed. In other words, if we just repeat, we don't learn, it doesn't stick as much. But when we space out the repetition and the retrieval of information, and we allow a little bit of forgetting in between, then it somehow strengthens the ability to retrieve the memory when we need it. And I'm going to bring some practicals to this in a moment. Fourthly, later. They see this, say this on page 41. The act of retrieving a memory changes the memory, making it easier to retrieve again later. There's something about the repetition and the repeated retrieval of a memory that changes it in its substance to become something that is more concrete for us. And finally, applied. Fifthly, page 43 to 44. Repeated retrieval not only makes memories more durable, but produces knowledge that can be retrieved more readily in more varied settings and applied to a wider variety of problems. And I think this is the key as to why, as preachers and teachers, it's important for us to help our listeners remember things, because we don't want them just to remember it for there and then, do we? We want them to be able to, as it says here, in more varied settings in the future, at home, at work, as they go through life, in those varied settings, being able to retrieve that information and apply it to that wider variety of problems. So you might be talking about perseverance, and perhaps you're illustrating it by talking about persevering in sharing your faith or in prayer, but that same principle can be applied in other areas of life. And so we want people to be able to remember what you've said about perseverance, about the spiritual qualities of it, about how we persevere, about what God says about it, about Old Testament examples, New Testament examples, things that Jesus says. We want our listeners to be able to recall that so they can apply that to their current circumstances, which might be quite different from the circumstances they find themselves in whilst they are listening to you speak. Now, what does this mean? Simple point, really. In our lessons, and there's a lot we could talk about here, but at least in a typical teaching lesson or sermon, I would suggest this, that we need to, first of all, repeat what we're talking about a lot. Generally speaking, most lessons are going to have one point, right? That point needs to be not only clear at the beginning and summarized well at the end, but it needs to thread through the whole lesson. As it threads through the whole lesson, we need to repeat it. So let's say we're doing a lesson on grace, and we're talking about grace. And so we made the point at the beginning that grace is critical to spiritual health and enjoying all that God has in mind for us. So we talk about grace at the beginning, the significance of it, and then we talk about aspects of grace, and we keep talking about grace. Perhaps we have a special phrase about grace. Maybe it's a quote from one of the scriptures about grace. It might be, for example, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, "For by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." His grace to me was not without effect. Perhaps that's your point. His grace to me was not without effect. So you could talk a lot about grace, but let's say that's your focus. His grace to me was not without effect. And as you go through your lesson, you may repeat that phrase. His grace to me was not without effect. His grace to me was not without, and you let your audience fill in the gaps. His grace to me was not without, and they'll say effect. Or you might say, his grace to me was not without effect. And you've put that in again and again in different forms, perhaps leaving out one word or part of a phrase and ask the congregation or the group there to repeat it back to you. And you, as you do that, it cements it. And you don't do it just at the beginning, you do it all the way through and at the end, and in between there are a few gaps, which gives time for people to actually forget what you've just said. But then you bring it back again and ask them, what are we talking about again here today? Should we quote that verse together, that phrase together, and let them repeat it back to you? Or perhaps you take a moment's break in the lesson to let them talk about it with each other. What does it mean that his grace to me was not without effect? What does it mean to you? How do you interpret that for your own life? How people talk about it, how people share about it. And then you go on to talk about another aspect of grace, but come back to it later. And so as we repeat our key phrase, as we repeat our key idea, what we're doing is We're helping our audience to recall it later. It's not just us repeating it, it's them repeating it. It's us asking the question, what are we talking about here today? Grace. What's the point about grace? It was not without effect. How did that manifest itself in Paul's life? And you might get people to respond with an answer or two to that, depending on what you've shared. And so this repetition, yourself, your audience, them talking about it to each other, rephrasing it, perhaps asking people to speak that point back to you in their own words. All of this helps it to settle. All of it helps it to cement itself in the memory so that they can bring it back to mind later when they need it in another circumstance at another time. There are a lot of different ways this could be done. I'd be interested to know what you think about this. How do we speak in such a way that our audience will remember what we've been talking about? Not just remember it on the day, or not just for a few minutes afterwards, but the next day, the next week, and perhaps for much, much longer than that. Jesus was a master at this. He taught in such a way that people remembered what he had to say. And he didn't mind repeating himself as you look through the Gospels. Peter says this in 2 Peter 1, verse 12. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I'm going to remind you, and I'm going to remind you some more, even though you already know it. I'm going to keep reminding you because I want you to be able to remember. A good preacher and a good teacher is somebody who wants to help their audience remember the truths that they're talking about. What can you and I do to help our congregations remember better? I'd like to know what you think. So last week we talked about creating a learning culture. You can look at that last week if you like. The link is in the show notes. And this week we're talking about to learn, retrieve. Keep bringing back to mind the main point of your lesson in different ways. I wonder what you think is, what's the best way for you to add retrieval of information into your lessons? How do you see that going? I've offered a few suggestions, but I'm sure there's a lot more ways this can be done. So what might be the next step for you in your next lesson to add some information retrieval into your lesson to help your audience remember the point? I'd like to know what you think about that. So drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. You can leave a comment on my website. You can leave a voicemail there. And I'd love to know what you think. So do please pass this on to anybody you think might benefit from it. And until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.